Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
What's going on, everybody? We got the Bleed Blue Show, Forum for the Fans. 929-477-4171 is the call-in number to the Bleed Blue Show. Press the number 1 on your touch-tone phone if you want to be live on the air for any questions or comments. Today, we're going to be discussing offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo and the latest injury to middle linebacker John Beeson. I brought on a fan from another team to give his perspective on Ben McAdoo from the Green Bay Packers. My boy Scott be on the line, but first, before we get into that, I want to give a special shout out to other Giant fans, you know, around the country. I want to give a shout out to last Sunday's show to the Shakedown crew. I want to give a shout out to them for coming on to the roundtable. It was good dialogue. It was excellent football points, good perspective. Those brothers bring it every day on their show. So for in-depth coverage of the New York Football Giants, please tune into the Shakedown podcast featuring Shakes, J-Rock, and Roldy weekday mornings at Monday to Friday at the 11 o'clock hour and afternoons between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. at 929-477-2686 as they break down the New York Giants daily. 11 o'clock a.m., 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. as they break down Monday to Friday. You can also catch this show via hashtag The Shakedown, that's D-A Shakedown on Twitter. You can also find this show on the YouTube. And also, if you're looking for a vacation or simple getaway, don't hesitate. Please explore the wonderful world of travel with us, a full-service travel professional who can book anyone for anything, what do you like? The Michael Strahan will be enshrined this summer at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. The ceremony will take place Saturday night, August 2nd, 2014. Also, the New York Giants will be taking on the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night for the Hall of Fame game. You can contact Lacey Township Travel and Leisure at 609-971-2893. Ask for Joe Aligo. His email, joe.aligo, that's joe.aligo, A-L-I-G-O, at outlook.com. Scott handle joe.aligo. And what's going on, Scott? How you doing? I got Joe on the line with us. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, how's everybody doing? Glad to be on. Thanks for inviting me.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Joe. I got Scott on the line, Green Bay Packer fan. We wanted to talk a little bit about Ben McAdoo.
Okay.
You know, we want to get a fan perspective with this show. You know, give us a little feedback to Giant fans. So, Scott, you know, I'll let you, you know, lead the way as far as, you know, how's everything been with you, man? I haven't talked to you in a while besides early this week.
Man, things have been great. Thanks for asking. Business as usual. Man, not a whole lot. Just enjoying my day off. And by the way, happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
All right, happy Father's Day to everybody out there too.
Anyway, we'll go into the whole Ben McAdoo and what he can bring for the Giants. Hopefully, man, this is a young guy who's been all over the offense for his whole career, basically, from being a tight end coach, quarterback coach, even the offensive line coach. He's a young guy with new ideas. He's confident. He's a high energy guy. He's one of those guys that the players really really like playing for. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be exciting.
All right, good. And Joe, if you have any questions for Scott, you know, Green Bay Packer fan, big time Packer fan, feel free. You know, as far as Ben McAdoo, you know, we can get a little dialogue going. Whatever you want, you know, feel free to ask questions. I got a question for you, Scott, as far as Ben McAdoo. I have a lot of them, actually. because it seems like Giants, Big Blue Nation, were very excited to have him. It's just, how do you feel? It's like, how do you feel in regards to Aaron Rodgers? You know, is he going to, you think he's going to miss him a lot? Was he a big thing to the office? Was he more closer to McCarthy? How do you feel about that as far as him leaving the organization altogether?
Well, I wouldn't say that he will not be missed. However, that Green Bay offense, that's McCarthy's offense. And McAdoo, has been a part of it, obviously, working side-by-side with him, with the quarterbacks in particular and the tight ends while in Green Bay. And but he's, like I said, the players love him. He's great with the players, and he's a big part of helping McCarthy get these guys ready for football. However, I don't think McCarthy will miss him as far as from a team aspect. I think the team, McCarthy, it's his scheme. And basically, he just helped bring the players along, McAdoo did. So, but I think he'll bring a lot of that to the Giants and also have his own twist on that offense and how he implements it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a question myself. Is mm-hmm. the type of offense that Ben McAdoo is bringing to the Giants, is that going to be a West Coast offense or a version of it? Because the Giants, throughout their entire history, has never ran a West Coast offense before, period.
Right, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think what's going to happen with him, with McAdoo, and he's already started, from what I understand, from your drafting, right away they took a center who's a pulling center, which is something that the Packers' offensive line, they like to do. They'll pull guards. They'll do more out of the backfield or screen plays and that sort of thing, which is all part of it. But, yeah, it's a West Coast offense, but it's a hybrid-style West Coast offense, meaning it's adjusting. It's always he's always going to be evaluating player strengths and adjusting accordingly. So, that's what I see happening with him. And his big thing, just like in Green Bay, is going to be getting the ball to guys in space and letting them make the big plays,
right,
getting open. So,
right.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be a West Coast style offense.
Okay, because once the Giants, my entire private life, actually not my entire life, since I was 8 years old in the late 70s, 1979, when we drafted Phil Sims, and in 81 we drafted Lawrence Taylor, we had Ray Perkins and Bill Parcells, and all the coaches that came after him, even during the Jim Fossil era of the 90s and the early 2000s, we really never had a West Coast style offense. We predicated ourselves on the offensive side of the ball, with good offensive line play, running the football, play action pass going intermediate and deep to the tight ends, wide receivers. Especially during the years of Bill. I mean, the Giants were predicated on running the football. They just wanted to bury it and just control the clock. I mean, that's basically how we punched Super Bowl 25 against the Buffalo Bills. We controlled the clock. And basically, I know the West Coast offense pretty much does the same thing, but they don't really run the football. It's like running the football, but you're throwing the ball short. I mean, everyone knows that Bill Walsh was an absolute master of that because he was the originator. He's the one who brought that type of offense to the league. In the late 70s, and throughout his entire coaching career during the 80s, up until 1988 when he retired. So, I mean, the West Coast offense has stuck around for many decades, and teams do run it, either run it in its purest form, or they run a hybrid version of it, like you say. But I'm kind of interested to see what the Giants can do, because you mentioned this type of offense has a lot of offensive guards pulling.
Yes.
I mentioned last week. Our guards now, as they stand right now, is Jeff Schwartz and Chris Snee. Chris Snee has come back, especially Chris Snee. He's come back from a terrible hip injury, where he really couldn't even walk the past couple of years, let alone play. And if the guards are going to be out there and pulling a lot, don't know if Snead can handle something like that, coming back from his bad hip injury. I mean, that to me is a concern.
Yeah, no, absolutely, I agree. And you're right, they've never run a West Coast style offense. Going back, you know, with Gilbride last year and, you know, the previous years, you guys. So Gilbride is a descendant of the whole Oilers Buddy Ryan thing, and the whole run and shoot,
right.
Truck and duck, whatever you want to call it. And basically that was a flex zone. It was a hybrid blocking scheme, but it was a read defense and adjust accordingly. A lot of times it was just four wide receivers and one running back, no tight end, no fullback. So it is very different. And you're right. With the pulling guards, you're going to see more screens. You're going to see little short passes. Like I said, we're going to set up blocks and just guys, you know, chance to make the plays. So, yeah, it is very different. And you're right. Athleticism is a huge plus. Like I said, you guys took that center, number one. He's supposed to be a very, very bright guy.
Very athletic guy. Actually, wait a minute. Let me correct you on something. We took Richburg in round two. Round two was Richburg.
We took Odell Beckham Jr. in the first round. But, yeah, I get what he's saying. Yeah, we took for our first two picks, we took Odell Beckham Jr. at the number 12 pick,
right.
Wide receiver out of LSU. And then the second pick was the center, Weston Richburg, out of Colorado State.
My mistake. But, yeah, he was taken. But that's why. And you're right. That Lions guy has to be athletic.
Yeah,
you know.
Steve and I were conversing on Facebook this past week, and we're talking about the tackle position. We have Giants have Will Beatty hurt, and Giants gave Will Beatty a lot of money, and he really hasn't produced very much. As a matter of fact, especially last year, he played very poorly, and we don't have a viable backup to take his place. So Steve and I were just kicking around some ideas. I'm thinking... taking Jeff Schwartz, he's 6'6", 340 pounds. If he's athletic enough, if he can play left tackle, that could work because we can take Justin Pugh off a right tackle and plug him in a left guard. Just kick the both guys over. Then you have Rich Berger center, Snee in right guard, and then this player who the Giants were awarded when we got Josh Freeman. His name is Roger Staines from the Chicago Bears. So if Rogers Gaines can make the team and prove that he can really, really play, you know, Gaines could have a really opportunity to start because right now James Brewer played a lot last year. He played at guard. Maybe because if he played out of position, I'm not sure, but he played terrible as well. I mean, he missed blocks left and right. I mean, last year, Johnson offensive line was just a complete mess. And with Beatty being hurt, I think of Schwartz left tackle, Pugh at left guard, Richburg at center, Snee at right guard, and Rogers Gaines at right tackle. And whoever we roll with the tight end is who we roll with the tight end because we fell out of the race for Jermichael Finley.
Yeah. I had a question about Jermichael Finley. Hold on, Scott, before you go in, I got our co-host Chris on the line. What's going on, Chris? Happy Father's Day, bro.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How you doing? Happy Father's Day if you are. The whole nine.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, I got a question. Joe, I think that was you just said, you were setting up the new, I don't know, I guess you would say the revamped offensive line being that Beatty has an injury, whatever. What did you say if right tackle would be a good replacement of right tackle? I missed that.
Rogers Gaines.
Who is he?
He was a player who we were awarded. I said this the best couple of week on Sunday. When we cut Josh Freeman, we were awarded this guy from the Chicago Bears named Rogers Gaines. He's a right tackle. I think he's 6'6", 6'7", or whatever he is. And he's well over 330 pounds. And,
do you know why they allowed him to be released, if you will,
what's
from
that?
The Bears? Do you know why he was released? I'm asking. I don't know anything about him.
I have no idea, and I really don't know much about him. All I know is he's an offensive lineman. He's got the height, wingspan to play the position, but I've never seen him play. I guess he's been a backup because he's obviously been a backup. He didn't play last year. Not yeah, because the right side of the Bears offensive line was Kyle Long, who's a rookie, and
right.
The other rookie, I forgot his name. excuse me.
So wait a minute. Could he be trusted at left tackle? I'm just asking because of the fact that Justin Pugh, he looks like the right tackle starter here.
Well,
and that's how he has been projected.
Well, I believe it was you yourself last Sunday we were discussing the Giants' offensive line. You're talking about Jeff Schwartz playing left tackle. And,
yes, I'm sorry. That's me. My mistake. Exactly. That's what I was thinking of. All right. Okay, so what about and my other question was, I was having a good time just listening, tell you the truth. because the only things I've heard, of course, the Beeson news, dominated everything.
Yeah.
But the other thing I heard was the wideouts were given the thumbs up to the new offense by McAdoo, man. They were loving it. I mean, I think it was Reuben Randle and Jarrell Regenerate that spoke up and said, hey, this is what we need to do. This is really happening. I didn't hear nothing from Beckham, but I know if you got two out of the three guys that are saying, okay, this is going to be pretty exciting, it's more, and it gives them more chance to stretch the field and do, make use of their given abilities, I think it might be something else. I think it might be pretty cool. But, of course, we didn't hear that because – Beeson, went down, and that obviously dominated the news. So.
Yeah. Well, actually, Victor Cruz lost it, too. Victor Cruz is another one I read. He's Green Street Trust, Giants 101, all the stuff I get on Facebook, and I was checking it out myself. And if Victor Cruz is down with this offense, and hey, then...
I love it, yeah. That would be cool.
It could work. Listen, if this can solve our red zone deficiencies by scoring in the red zone, what we've been having trouble with on the Gilbride, it's gonna really be something. I think
we have the running backs to do that, don't you, Joe?
What's that?
I think we have the backfield personnel to alleviate that problem, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think between Andre Williams and Rashad Jennings, no doubt. If we get the ball like inside the 5-yard line, first and goal. Those guys are getting the ball. So either that or...
your fullbacks are still here too, man. Nobody talks about Connor and Anoski, and I forget the last guy behind them. But they're there, it looks like it's I don't think it's so much a work in progress as people think. I think the Giants look pretty optimistic on offense this year. I think they do. I'm a little biased. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I had a question. I had a question for Scott about because he did mention about McAdoo being a position coach and the number one concern on offense we all know as Giants fans is the tight end position, hands down. Scott, what were you seeing in Green Bay with McAdoo and the development of JaMychal Finley, Tom Crabtree and Andrew Corliss, We have Adrian Robinson. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the far tight ends, but Adrian Robinson, Larry Brunell, Daniel Fells.
Yep.
You think he's going to have some sort of positive influence with our tight ends like he did with your tight ends?
Absolutely. It's a must for that offense to run correctly. The tight ends will be involved. In fact, especially you talking about it in the red zone, man, nothing more dangerous than a 6'4" tight end and get open short range like that. And it's all timing with the West Coast offense. So absolutely. In fact, you might think they're going to line up at the 5 or 4 yard line. They're just going to run the ball 3 or 4 times. They're not. We're going to throw the ball.
Right.
So, that's part of the offense. They can run, but they will throw the ball. The tight end will be involved.
Now listen, once we solve our red zone deficiencies, I care less what kind of offense we run. I care less. Once we score a touchdown, I'm not kicking field goals. I'll be happy camper. I'll tell you that right now.
That's right. speaking my language, Joe.
Amen to that. I second that.
And the thing is, what I'm encouraged about is I like the fact that I've heard that Adrian Robinson has had several private one-on-one meetings with McAdoo after his, you know, once he started showing out really nice in camp. I think I don't know what they're talking about, but I'm glad they're talking. Because that could only mean, you know, I mean, if everyone, if all of these wideouts are really, really upbeat about the new offense and the offensive line obviously will buy in, then I, you know, we're gonna really see something in upstate Jersey this year, man. We really are. I think we will, and I think the rest of the league knows it too. At least I know the rest of the division already knows it. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay. Do you know anything about Eli Coe? Have I heard anything?
I think he said he's ready and raring to go. I've been reading online. He said, if the season starts tomorrow, he can play he can play right now.
Okay.
So he's ready to go. He's ready to rock. He's ready to go.
You hearing anything about Hillis?
No, not really. What's up, Hillis?
Okay. All right. Those were the only questions I had on offense.
Now. Well, we're only keeping like one fullback. We're not going to keep three. So
right.
Well, speaking of the fullback, that's another question I had. You know, you guys had John Kuhn. He's been he's a fan favorite up in Green Bay, from what I know. With John Kuhn.
Yeah, right.
We have two fullbacks on the roster fighting for that fullback spot. We have Henry Hynoski and John Connor, the Terminator. Which fullback do you see fits more like a John Kuhn? Is it Hynoski? Is it Connor? Who would you rather see fit in with this McAdoo office? Because we're kind of trying to go away from this, you know, like you said, with the Gilbreyer and the run and shoot. We're trying to be more, you know, with West Coast office trying to implement that. So which fullback that's fighting for that roster spot that's more like Kuhn in your opinion? Is it going to be Hynoski? Is it going to be Connor?
Man, I gotta be honest. I'm not that familiar with either of those two, but I would say the one that's more of your lunch pail guy, your guy that comes in to work and he's physical, he's gonna be your guy. That's what everyone loves about John Kuhn up in Green Bay is the guy. He's just a player. You know, he comes in and he makes the blocks when he has to. Heck, the guy will run the ball if you give it to him, and he'll even catch the ball in the backfield. So, but I don't know much about your fullback personnel. I'll be honest, but whoever it is going to be somebody that kind of can do it all back there. So
it's going to be a tough competition to pay it out because all three can play. I mean, I like Connor. You know, he did some good work for the Jets. Hanashi's been with us a couple of years. And the other, even a third fullback, if you want to call the fullback, is Peyton Hillis. So,
Now, let me ask you this.
I think they're all pretty durable. I was just saying, I think they're all pretty durable. It's sort of running ability, Hillis is probably the best of the three, but I don't really know if he'll be – if you got a healthy Jennings and Williams and Wilson back there, man, all these guys got to do is just, again, lunch fail, like you're talking about, make the key blocks. You know, get out to the flat if they can on third down or whatever, and that's it, man. I think it'll be okay. I think they're they're okay. They don't need to be formidable. I mean, they just need to be. They need to show up, and I think they're more of a three-headed monster right now. So, that's what I'm looking at. Okay, let me ask another question here though about the offense before you guys move on. Right now. I guess, how do I ask this? In this kind of new offense, who is more, do you need the speedy receiver? Do you need the tall receiver? Do you need to utilize your back more? What do you do? What kind of new look will we see that we're not used to up here?
Well,
I mean,
you know what?
Because we're not talking, like you said before, you know, what else are we doing?
Well, I mean, my perspective, you got, you know, and I'm sorry, I mean, you cut anybody off there, but, I mean, if you look at Green Bay's wide receivers, we don't have super speedy receivers. We got some guys that can go, but Nelson's got a little bit of speed, and the Cobb and those guys, but none of them are you know, speedy guys. None of them are Victor Cruz speed or right, by any means. So, in fact, Victor Cruz probably had a pretty big year, I think. But so all those guys, what they do, especially Cobb and Nelson, those guys, they get the ball. Like I said, a lot of times it's quick, you know, three steps back to the quarterback and getting rid of the ball. He's looking for the hole to get the ball to, and then the players make it happen. So speed is good, but you need a guy that can run good routes, you know.
Well, that works for Eli.
I like Jordy Nelson too. I mean, I like him a lot. I mean, he's not a speed demon by any stretch, but he can play. I look at him more as a possession receiver and a route runner. But he can play. I see him make some big time catches for Green Bay. I mean, whether you're playing Chicago or whether you're playing, I mean, game on the line, he's your go-to guy. I mean, he's really good. I like him.
No, he is. He absolutely is their number one. He's a guy in Green Bay. So.
Yep.
I got a question for Joe.
Go ahead.
Give me your latest opinion, if you will, on how our defense is looking. Because I've missed the first part of the call. Sorry about that. Have you explained that already? Please excuse me. But I've been looking forward all year to asking you that question. And now with Beeson down.
I know. I feel the exact same way you just felt right now, just moments ago. I mean, I was on Facebook, and the first source I got, when Beeson went down injured, was in Rich We Trust. And
yeah. Okay.
I'm reading this thing, and I damn near fell off my chair. I said, "You gotta be kidding me!" Once I heard that, some of my Facebook friends were Giants fans. They're saying, "Yes, it's not looking good. You got carted off the field." And I read some of the comments. Some of the players said, "Listen, some people are saying it's bad news." And other people are saying, don't worry about it because I really have it happen now because he can have the surgery. He'll come back strong. I missed training camp, and he'll be back strong by week one, week two. I'm thinking, this could be a real problem because John Beeson broke his foot, I believe. I think he broke his foot. And when Akeem Hicks was here, during OTAs, he had the same injury. He broke his foot during OTAs. And the same thing happened. I read the news on Facebook, and I almost fell off my damn chair. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And this is OTAs. They're not wearing pads. They're not any contact drills. How are these guys getting injured? They're breaking their foot. I mean, is this something wrong with the turf? I mean, what the hell is going on here? This is non-contact world. These guys drop like flies. I mean, our guys are made out of glass. I mean, Jesus, what a fighting. Beeson, what's the real dagger to your heart is, he's one of the new leaders on this defense. Justin Tucker's not here anymore.
That's where I'm going. He totally ingested the defense with something last year that woke everyone up. And they really kind of came up in the second half of the year as a result, you know? And we started the league, I mean, they started the season with, I think it was Herslig. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Was it Herslig?
Yeah, it was. It was.
And nothing happened. So I take it, just knock on wood here, I take it that he'll be our starting middle linebacker this year.
No, actually, no, it's not going to be Herslig. It's good. Right now, the linebacker's got a decent spot. It's Devin Kennard. It's Devin Kennard from USC who we drafted. He's manning the mic right now.
Okay.
Devin Kennard is a rookie. He has the mic position right now. So.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean, Kennard's got a decent spot, and he's a rookie. So I just hope we can. I believe he can play. I mean, I didn't watch much USC football last year, but I'm hoping he can play. I think he can play, but seeing is believing. But I mean, I think Kennard might play on the outside. I put Paysinger back on special teams where he belongs.
Okay.
I mean, Paysinger Hinsinger played well last year, the outside linebacker spot. That's because he had to.
He did.
We had nobody else. Hinsinger could play well. But right now, Hinsinger probably still man the outside. I think the right outside linebacker spot. Kennard's going to be in the middle, the rookie. And we got Jamil McClain on the left side. That's it.
Okay.
Hey, Scott. I got a question for you, Scott. Hey, man, what about the formations you guys were running in Green Bay? Which sets did you guys were more, you know, because Giants, they're thrilled about the three wide receiver sets, but you guys more thrive better when you guys were in double tight end, three wide receiver, overloads? Like, what offensive set did you like the most, where the Packers most successful in your eyes last season?
Man, usually if they were in a two tight end set, then they were probably looking to get short yardage. It was usually effective. But, obviously the most exciting play is when he dropped back in the shotgun and then Rodgers and let it go. But they're effective in all, all formations. But you'll see a lot more probably three wide sets and with tight end. So, occasionally even a double running back, two backs in the backfield. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I mean, they're probably about 60-40 pass to run, so you're gonna see more passing, I believe. So, which is different for you guys. So,
it's passing league anyway. It's a passing league anyway. I mean,
it is nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right, nowadays it is. But, I mean, back in the day, and Steve and Chris, I remember this as well. I mean, going back to Ray Perkins and Bill Parcells, it was 50-50. It was straight up run to pass. I mean, it was a balanced offense. So that's the way it was. I mean, 60-40, I guess call me old school. But, I like the 50-50 balance of run to pass, but... Passing league, 60-40, I guess you can live with it. I mean, like I said before, as long as we score touchdowns and kick field goals, I'm good. I don't care what
we're doing. It may be 55-45, I don't know. But, depend on what's working for you guys. And like I said, and your team is going to be different because your offense is going to be based on individual strengths and what you guys do best. So,
right.
On your personnel. So.
Right, exactly. Good point. Exactly. But anyway, that's really about it. I'm just sick of the Greason injury. I really am. I mean, God Almighty. I know he's been injury prone in the past, and now he went down with this injury. Even when Hakeem Nicks came back from his injury, when he got injured in OTAs, he broke his foot. He wasn't the same. I mean, you watch the games, especially the one game when we were on the road in Green Bay. He's out there, he's gutting it out, but even those two schmuck broadcasters, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, who hate the Giants anyway, they were noticing that Mitch was basically almost on one leg. I mean, he was out there playing, but it wasn't the same. I mean, there were balls that Eli threw that Mitch would usually get to if he was 100% healthy, but since he wasn't, he wasn't getting those balls, and Hakeem Nicks was never a burner anyway, so it was a problem. Now when Beeson with his injury, even when he comes back, he's probably not going to be the same. So this is a problem. I mean, some guys are not looking at this as a major problem. I do. I do, because this is not good. I mean, not only are we losing a pretty solid linebacker, he's not a superstar by any stretch, but he's a solid middle linebacker. He can play. I mean, he's been a starter in Carolina. I don't worry about it. We'll be okay for week one and week two. Not so fast, man. I mean, look what happened to Hakeem Nicks. I mean, geez. I mean, this is a concern for me. This is a real concern. I don't like this one bit. I know it's football. Injuries are part of the game, but come on. I mean, during OTAs, you get hurt during OTAs. I mean, come on. It's not even July yet. It's not even training camp yet. mean, if it was training camp, I mean, I'd probably understand it, but during OTAs, I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It really is. That's it. That's
what I
have to say about that.
Joe, I'm with you on that, Joe. 100%, man. These injuries is a huge concern. I mean, there's nothing me to add on to that because, you know, I've been ranting about the injuries for seasons, man. I mean, every season for the last at least 8 to 10, man, there's always a concern going into week one. And I'm done ranting about the injuries. It's come to the point with me, I expect it. So yeah. When I heard the news about Beeson, man, it's like, you know, I'm driving in the car and I'm like, I'm not surprised. I'm not ready to crash my car onto the highway knowing Beeson got injured. I always said about Beeson, what's the next step? Who's going to fill in? But, you know, we have our questions about that. You know, with Beeson, you know, he's coming. At least he got – I don't want to wish injury on any player, but he got hurt early in the game. He's going to be able to come back between weeks 1 and 3 is my guess, 12 weeks. You know, that's the reports that they're saying. So, you know –
Every player is different. I mean, there are players that really don't need training camp. I mean, there are some players that do. I mean, look, like I said, I mentioned Akeem Nicks. He got hurt during OTAs. But he missed training camp. He came back, and he just wasn't the same. He just wasn't. He's out there playing. He's out there gutting it out. But you could tell something was up. I mean, he was not healthy. That's it. I mean, every player is different. I mean, a superstar like Tony Gonzalez, you know, that have like a minor injury either during OTAs or whatever, or if they hold out to a contract dispute, whatever the reason is. Players like Tony Gonzalez, superstar players, they come back, say, training camp? I don't need no stinking training camp. and they prove it on the field because they're great players. Now, I'm not saying we've got to go out and sign superstar players for top dollar, but, I mean, like I said, Steve, I mean, these injuries they just drive us crazy. They just drive us crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, what's going on, man? You still on the line with us? You had any other questions for Scott as far as from Ben McAdoo perspective, Green Bay Packers, you know, Giants office and all that? Oh, he's gone? Hey. Yeah, hello? Okay. Hey, Scott, I'm bringing in, let me see. Hey, you guys still on there?
I'm here.
Yep.
Okay.
We're here.
All right, hold on. I'm bringing in another call. I got J-Rock on the line. J-Rock, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
What's up, Steve? How you feeling, man?
Man, I can't call it, man. Happy Father's Day to you and yours, to all your family members. You know, it's a good day down here, man. We're talking with, Green Bay Packer fan Scott on the line. We were just asking him a lot of questions about Ben McAdoo, the Giants offense. It says, you know, feel free to ask whatever questions. You're on the line with him right now. So you got any questions as far as Ben McAdoo, the Green Bay offense, wide receiver sets?
All right.
How's it going, man?
What's up, man? I was listening for a little minute, and I heard y'all talking about the defense, talking about John Beeson. What I want to add to it is, I don't see it that way. I don't see Kennard playing in the middle because I just don't trust a fifth-round draft pick who's injury-prone to man the middle until John Beeson comes back. I would rather prefer us to move Jameel McClain to the middle and then whoever fights it out for the strong side or the weak side, do it that way. I just can't see a Devon Kennard playing in the middle who's a fifth-round draft pick and he's injury-prone. So I just don't trust that.
Well, if he's injury-prone, that's one thing. That would scare me, too. But a fifth-round draft pick, I could care less if you're drafted or not drafted. If you could play, you could play. I mean, there's been y'all know I've been watching the NFL for so many decades. There have been some super late-round draft picks that went on to the Hall of Fame. So I'm not saying Beast is a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying Kennard's going to be a Hall of Famer. But if they prove he can play, we can go with that, but the injury problem, you just mentioned, that's a whole different ball of wax. That's a whole different animal right there. The bottom line is the injuries. That's it. I didn't even know that Kennard was injury prone. I had no idea. I had no idea at all. I didn't watch any USC football last year, so I had no idea he was injury prone. If that's a wrap on him, then that could be a problem. That could be a real problem.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody can play. Whoever's in the NFL can play. It's just, do you trust a fifth round draft pick to call, you know, to make the calls? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, in a fifth round draft pick, I mean, look at Tom Brady. I know it's a different position, but he's a quarterback. But he was drafted in the sixth round, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's a surefire first ballot. So, I care less what round you're drafted in. That doesn't bother me. What concerns me is the injuries. And there have been some guys in the NFL that really can't play at all. That were stunk. Look at Ryan Leaf. He was a first-round draft pick, second overall, 1998, and he was an all-time bust. He was a bust.
All right, so let's take that out of the equation then. Take that out. He was a fifth-round draft pick. I just don't trust him in the middle. I'd rather have Jamil McClain in the middle.
McClain to me in the middle? All right, put him there. All right.
I got a question for J-Rock. Who's your strong side linebacker if you put McClain in the middle?
I would go with if Kennard can do it, I would put Kennard on the strong side. I would put Pacing on the weak side.
Pacing on the weak side, definitely. I can get with that. Who on the depth chart? Has anybody got a depth chart in front of them? Because I want to know who's behind McClain on the strong side. I don't even, besides Kennard, I know there's got to be somebody else there.
It's you got Dan Fox, from undrafted rookie free agent from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You got this kid Justin Anderson from a small school. I forgot what school he was from, but you got Justin Anderson. So
okay,
there's a couple of rookies behind Jamil McClain and Devon Kennard.
Okay,
all right.
I got a linebackers right here. Look at the Giants' website. Don't have a depth chart, but they have the roster. Linebackers: Spencer Radkins, Justin Anderson, John Beeson, Dan Fox, Herzlich, Devin Kennard, Jamil McClain, Paysinger, and Jaquan Williams.
Okay.
I'm kind of with J-Rock on that. You know, I didn't really want to get into the linebackers just yet, but I'm kind of actually on his thinking as far as McClain, because he has experience with that middle linebacker position. I actually like that quick sub for now until Beeson gets back. So that's me personally, but I didn't want to spend on that till a little later, though. So I'm kind of with J-Rock on that, on the linebackers, temporarily.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, screw that. Because I don't want to see Herzlich back there. Screw all that.
Oh, me neither.
Hell no. I don't want to see that.
Definitely not.
Let's
talk about these tight ends, though.
not much to really talk about is we're gonna roll with. I think Kellen Davis on the roster, Larry Donnell still on the roster. He could take a hike. Daniel Fells, I've never even heard of him. Xavier Grimble, everyone knows about him. And Robinson, that's it. So we're kind of on the roster. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tight ends. And
hey, Scott, is Packers Nation, y'all trying to take back Finley or something? Or
Steve, you took it right out of my mouth. I was going to ask Scott about the Packers.
What's that?
Are you guys going after Jermichael Finley? Because, you know, the New York Giants, you know, they got their eyes on that target. How do you guys feel about Jermichael Finley? Y'all bringing him back? What's up?
Here's what I think. I think, no, I don't think he comes back to Green Bay. I think he signs elsewhere. I know a couple teams have worked him out already. The only way I see the Packers taking him back is basically if nobody else takes him up, which is interesting. I know he's a guy with a lot of talent. You know, I don't know if they're willing to take a risk on him. That's all. He'd have to be cheap. He'd have to be a good deal on him, and I don't think they will. I think they're comfortable with Corliss stepping up. And they got a guy named Taylor, and also a rookie, Richard Rodgers, they just drafted, that they feel pretty good about, and Bostic as well. So I don't think that it's a need, although I personally am a fan of Michael Finley. I'd love to see him come back, but I don't see it happen. I think he goes elsewhere.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, let me ask a question for everybody. We was talking about this on a Shakedown podcast. I know the Atlanta Falcons got the Hard Knocks thing.
Right.
How was everybody feeling about if the Giants would have been picked? Because we were saying, why not? I mean, why not give us that exposure? But a lot of fans don't feel that way.
We don't really need it. I mean, we're the New York Giants. We don't need to be exposed like that. Like we're some, like I don't know. I can't even think of a word right now. But I mean, I was down with that. I mean,
J-Rock, I'm gonna tell you what. A lot of, and this is a real, true, honest to goodness, through and through feeling here. And
yeah.
I think Scott will probably identify with this being he's a Packer fan and he's had to see Bears all his life. And that is a lot of, and this is going to sound very petty, but it's honest to goodness true. Because I'm sitting right here amongst this. And that is a lot of Giant fans do not want to go anywhere where a Jet has already been. Not at all. If they've done it, they don't want to see it. If they've been around it, they don't want to be around it. It's just like that. Since the Jets have already done it, there's a stigma there. And it's like, okay, no, there's no way our men in blue are going to ever do a Hard Knocks. What's the other one? A Jimmy Fallon show? None of that.
Yeah.
It's just the mere. It sounds very 5-year-old, but it's the truth. If the Jets have already been there, Giants don't want to have anything to do with it. That's the real prevailing wisdom about it. And I think if you give them a little while, Joe would admit the same thing.
Yeah, but
John Merrow's not down with it. So there you go. That is a combination right there. John Merrow.
Yeah, there you go right there. Merrow doesn't want it to get it.
Yeah, John Merrow hates it.
I would love it myself.
I personally don't really care for it, honestly. I just kind of like to, you know, just do our thing. I want to just play, just get on the field, win games. I don't really care for the cameras, the HBO stuff. If they was to do it, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but if I had to pick one, I honestly would say no. I just want the Giants to get back to solid football. I want a solid season. I want, you know, to go into the season. I want at least 11-5. I hope to get that, but you know, 10-6. I'll take 10-6 for the division.
Yeah.
But as far as cameras, HBO, you know, that's kind of more of the, you know, Raiders, the Bengals, the Jets. I can see Arthur Blank and the Falcons wanting that exposure because they could use that exposure. You know, with the new dome and stuff down in Georgia. So the Giants don't need it, honestly.
They don't. They really don't. You know, I mean, kind of dumb.
Anyway. Hey guys, I'm gonna have to get out of here, but it was nice chatting with you guys.
Thanks,
Scott.
Thank you.
Hey Scott, man, feel free to come on anytime, man. Thank you for giving us a Packer perspective.
Absolutely, anytime.
I'll holler at you,
man. One more question for you, man.
Oh, go ahead.
All right, you got one more?
I have one question for you. David House, is he gonna be your star this year? We want to know in case we have to run across him.
Devin House is not gonna be the starter.
Okay.
I don't think so. He'll play, but hopefully under good terms, not because of injury. But I like him. He's pretty solid. But we've got guys like Shields. You got Burnett, the safety role over there, and another young kid that we like a lot. I can't remember his name at the moment, but I don't see him as a starter.
All right, Scott. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, guys. Hey,
Scott,
care.
Man, I'm sorry about the L.A. Kings taking us out, man. They took you guys out, took out my Rangers.
That's right. I forgot. My condolences, guys, the Rangers, Kings.
I'm good, man.
Be all right.
All right, man. Thank you very much, man.
All right. Hey, Steve, I'll be in touch, man.
Absolutely.
All right. Scott, take care.
Later. Yeah, man, I know we were talking about the linebackers, man. Now I really want to go in about this linebacker situation, man, because I already seen this coming. Let's look at these options, man, with this linebacker core. What's, you know, what kind of combinations you want to see going into training camp week one, just in case Beeson's not bad. Let's go down the line, man. What do you want to see at linebacker right now, assuming Beeson may or may not be there? Joe, J-Rock, and Chris.
I really, really like Jamil McClain in the middle. I do. You know what the funny thing is? I wish I had a death chart in front of me, but I don't. It seems like just subtracting Beeson from the middle almost exposes our depth. You know, because when you, I don't, going back to Hurtlick there, which is probably what we're gonna have to do.
That's not even an option. I'm gonna tell y'all right now. That's not an option.
is that option as far as negative or what? What do you mean?
Hurtlick, I don't even know how he even got signed. Maybe it was because of the cheap contract. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Hurtlick.
Neither am I. I think he's a great backup.
Mark Hurtlick, he's a role player. He's a backup. He's a special teamer. And God bless the guy for battling and beating cancer. Because what he had in college, I mean, not many people came back from. And for him to even have some kind of career in the NFL, to me, that speaks volumes. You don't have to be Mike Singletary. You don't have to be Harry Carson. I mean, you don't have to be Pepper Johnson. He doesn't have to be any of these guys. All I want Mark Hurtlick to do is in any way, some way, shape, or form, just help us win games. I'm not expecting him to be a superstar player, but for Hurtlick to come back from his cancer and beat it and have just some kind of a career in the NFL, to me, I tip my hat to the guy. I'll shake his hand, I'll buy him a beer. I mean, seriously. Because what he had, I mean, you would not wish that on your worst enemy. And if Bob Johnson's face all heard, like, he sucks, he's that and the other thing, he can't play, blah, 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 blah. You know what? He's a role player. I mean, we're not asking him to be Harry Carson. We're not asking him to be Pepper Johnson. We're not asking him to be Gary Reasons. We're not asking him to be Mike Barrow or any other very good
player. Wow, Mike Barrow.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I know, right?
You know, we're not expecting him to be Sam Huff. No. Yeah.
No. He won't be Sam Huff. No.
No. But we just want.
I love those guys, man. Those guys are my
pet. Yeah. We just want him to be a role player and just help us win games in some fashion. I mean, I don't care what it looks like. If it's the end of the game. And if there's like, I don't know, there's 25 seconds left on the clock in the fourth quarter, and we're up by four, or up by three, and we got to make a big stop on third down, and Hurtlick's the guy to make that play, or to make a big play on special teams to cause a fumble. Hey, I'll jump off my couch, I'll freaking scream like hell before. I'll be clapping my hands, I'll be going nuts. I mean, just contribute in some way. I mean, no one expects him to be a superstar player. That's it. That's all I got to say about Mark Hurtlick. I mean, God bless him because he beat cancer. He's got a career in the NFL now. To me, it's all good. I mean, I care less if he's a star player or a role player. I really don't care. Don't bother me one bit.
And Steve, Joe has a point because, you know, once you get past our linebackers, last year we were this very same time we were. There was a lot of trepidation about our secondary, okay? Nobody even wanted to touch that in the conversation. Today, I think we're stacked probably as heavy as any other team in the NFC back there. So if he could just toe the line, Hurtlick, I mean, that is. If he could toe the line, I think we'll be fine. He doesn't have to be – True, he doesn't have to be the greatest athlete, though. And this is a pretty different defensive team than it was at the start of last year. All he has to do is just toe the line a bit. He's got talent on the left of him, talent on the right of him, and definitely a lot of talent behind him. It can be okay. It might be all right. It might be an overreaction, you know, because Beeson gave us so much already,
right.
You know. And then, you know, you never know. Beeson might show up a little earlier than diagnosed because it said he'll – Originally, they said he'll be out originally 3 months. Then they said so that he's going to miss the beginning he's going to miss all the training camp. But he may be back game two, week two or week three. So, you know, see, I mean, you know, it was just a shock to the system if you're a Giants fan to have this happen right now. But it might not be as bad as we think.
Well, that,
so,
I agree with you on that point. I'm glad that the timing of it, I like the, I don't even like injuries, but I like the fact that the injury is so early in the game that he has that
right.
opportunity to come back week two and week three. Now, you know, I'm kind of
right.
big on, you know, I want you to get your reps in training camp. You know, you want to get that camaraderie. You want to get that, you know, that,
right.
you know, team being on the same page as a signal caller.
Right.
Now, I don't
right.
think, I personally don't think Hurts is built for the job. Whether, you know, God bless him for beating cancer and all that. He's a decent special teams player. But as far as our position at middle linebacker, I don't think, you know, at the Cowboy game last year, he was getting touched the week last year, man.
He was. Michael Kay, who's a radio jockey, the New York Yankees baseball broadcaster, said it best. And he's got his own radio show on ESPN Radio. He said it best. I think it was quite a long time ago. He said, if you start playing your depth, when you have injuries, you start playing your depth, you're screwed. You're
right.
screwed. You start playing, getting your backups on the field, and all your starters are out, down and out with injuries. You are in a world of trouble. And
J. Rob, what do you think about this, man? I didn't really get a chance to, you know, get you guys' perspective on y'all show about, you know, about Beeson, because I think this happened late Thursday, Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were really concentrated on why the front office and Jerry Reese really didn't care about bringing in any worthy backups to Beeson, knowing that he had a lot of injury problems. Why didn't we go after a free agent linebacker
mm-hmm.
when we knew Beeson could possibly have an injury during OTAs or training camp or whatever?
That's
so we were basically talking about that.
Yeah, but who was available at the time? And who was good enough to bring in?
Well, I hear here's some names that's available right now. You know, what do you guys think about Jonathan Vilma?
I like him. Not bad.
He's an ex-Jet, which already put the bad taste in my mouth. But he's valuable.
How old is he?
How old is Jonathan Vilma?
Yeah.
Now, he's got to be early 30s by now. So
I'll say
I guess 30. Off the top of my head, I'm going to guess 32, 33. That's my guess.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but. But what do you guys think about Jonathan Vilma as far as, you know, if you're not going to put McClain at middle linebacker, you're not going to put Kennard at middle linebacker, what about Vilma? Is he going to take a roster spot from somebody else? Had a viable name?
Vilma's case, though, to be fair, Steve, I think in Vilma's case, the front office is looking at Vilma's money. he got a crazy, crazy big contract twice, once with the Jets and once with the Saints, and he may be hard to pay. That's what that was. How we think of him as a football player, he's very viable. You know, he's got a Super Bowl ring. He can come in right away and do the job, but. Again, it's a matter of finances with the way the Giants work.
How much are you willing to pay for him, though?
We could probably get him cheaper. We got money on the cap to do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can hear it. Say again?
So we could probably get him cheap, and we got the cap money to do it. We're $7 million under because we cut that bum David Boss.
Did
Vilma play last year? Because I really didn't see much of him.
Vilma played last year, but he got injured in the middle of the year. Nothing serious, but the real hole in his resume, if you will, is that he had to miss a year because he got caught up in that what they call that thing?
Oh,
Bounty Gate thing. Yeah.
Yep.
So he missed
entire years.
So that's why a lot of teams were a little. I mean, even the Saints were skeptical about him for a minute. So I don't know what's going on there yet. So yeah, I do like.
I mean, we got almost like $7 million.
The guy I wanted was Carlos Dansby.
Yeah, well,
and they let him go by.
Right. I mean, I like Dansby too.
Dansby
to the Bengals now, something like that, or
he's in Cleveland.
Oh, it's for Cleveland. That's right. That's right. My bad.
Yeah, that's the guy I was looking at. And I said, oh, man.
I think this might have been the deal with Jonathan Vilma. That could be wrong. He's on the wrong side of 30 years old. He's making a lot of money. The Saints had to free up salary cap space anyway. They went out and got Malcolm Jenkins is no longer there.
He's
in Philly, so they got to make some roster moves. So if you got a linebacker on the wrong side of 30 years old, making that kind of money, Saints probably thinking Mickey Loomis, Saints GM. Loomis probably thinking, hey, possibly your time is done here. We got to get younger in the linebacker position anyway. So, thank you very much for your services. It's time for you to go. It's called a salary cap casualty is what it was. That's why Belma is still on the board right now, which I'm kind of surprised. But if I'm Jerry Reese, and you can get Jonathan Belma for a reasonable amount to take the place of John Beeson, yeah, let's do it. You know what? I'm down. Let's do it.
I agree.
I agree.
I think out of all the names that are available,
yeah.
I don't really know anybody else. I'm looking at this right now, and I see Dan Connor is over here.
Yeah, Dan Connor, Bradley, those type of guys.
I don't know these guys at all, to tell you the truth.
I'll be right back.
Hang
on. Okay. What about that coach linebacker? Is he still available?
Who?
Who? Pat Anger? That's who you're talking about?
Yeah, remember him? Yeah.
He has a big injury history, man. I think he had microscopic surgery on his knee or something like that.
Oh, really?
Okay.
So yeah,
man. Larry Foote, was he in Pittsburgh or something?
That's 3-4 defense. You want a guy from a 3-4 defense come to the 4-3 though?
Ooh, I didn't know that. Sorry, back up. I withdraw the question, Your Honor.
Oh, no, you're good, man. You good?
I withdraw that question. Excuse me.
Stuart Bradley guy. I mean, a lot of these guys who are available do have injury issues. I mean, it's a matter of me, it's kind of how much you're willing to pay. I'm not willing to pay, Jonathan Vilma no more than $1.5-2 million tops. I know we got at least what? Close to $7 million in cap space because of that.
Yes,
box.
We do.
We got rid of Bob.
We have $6.7 million in cap space.
Oh, okay, cool.
$6.7 million, you're right.
Yeah, I'm not really giving. I'm not trying to give him the house and the mansion and all that. Just give him some, give him some crumbs, man. Hold this $1 million, bro.
Hey, you know who else is available right now? James Harrison.
Yeah.
Is he?
He's still a free agent.
James Harrison is available.
But he's still a
free agent. I guess he's listed. The listing I got is inside linebackers. I should look for outside linebackers, I guess. But I know James Harrison is available though.
He's over 35 years old. No thanks.
Well, we're not going to give him $10 million.
No, I think he's done. He did nothing with the Bengals last year. I think he's done.
Now let me ask you this: would you guys go? Is it primarily middle linebacker that you want to sign on the open market, or do you want to sign an outside linebacker and plug in McClain? Like, how do you guys want to, protect this little, passing this hole?
I think you need to find somebody temporarily to work with Herschel in the middle.
Okay.
That's what I would go. Again, I got to tell you, I'm really shocked that we never got Dansby, Joe.
Right.
I don't know how that passed us.
A lot of Giants fans were saying, let's re-sign Beeson because we gave up a seventh-round pick for John Beeson. And I guess Jerry wanted to get his money's worth. So it's a big we gave up that seventh-round pick, and people say, well, who cares about seventh-round pick? Well, that seventh-round pick happens to be John Beeson, who you traded for, and he was a good player. You bring him back. And that's what the majority of Giants fans were saying. So that's why Beeson came back, and when he did get re-signed, fans like myself and a lot of other ones, they rejoice. They're like, yay! So, that's it. But I like Dansby. Dansby's a good player. Dansby's a real good player. He's a real good player.
I just knew we had him. I just knew at the end of the year we just were going to – I just knew he was there. He was – not only was he not going to take it, he was looking this way. And I guess it just went on too long for his agent, and next thing you know, he's on Cleveland. I don't know what kind of – he didn't get an outstandingly fantastic deal, you know. And he could have helped a lot here, but nah, you know, what under the bridge now?
I
don't know what's going on with that, Steve.
I take a flyer on Vilma. I take a flyer on absolutely. I take a flyer.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of timeline with Vilma. You know, the teams is looking at him. Atlanta felt they lost. I mean, are you going to act fast before another team does? I mean, you can't just sit mm-hmm. and like, okay, well, we'll think about getting Vilma, but if you got other teams who went down, you know, their players went down before you did. You know, you got your Sean Lees, you got Sean Witherspoons. I mean, if you're the Giants and you're taking a linebacker on the market right now, you got to act fast. Or did you roll with the punches? I don't like our backups. This is something that should have been addressed well early in the offseason for the draft. That's my opinion on that. But
you're right. But, you know, these are the New York Giants. And you know exactly, this is the first time in their history ever that they ever were this aggressive in the offseason anyway. And this is a new shock also. We've always had people get hurt in training camp. That's not new. But I don't think they'll go out of the – I think they're going to play the cards that they already have. I'm pretty sure that Hurstnick will be the starter. And the other, but he'll have to battle McClain and Kennard. That's what I really think is going to happen, knowing the Giants front off.
I would bring in Vilma. I really would. I'll bring it down to Vilma. I would do that.
I would too.
Give him a 1-year deal. We got a little money to spend. We got $7 million left on the cap. We give him a 1-year deal. You know, I mean. And the reason why the Giants were aggressive about this offseason is because we had money to spend. We had a lot of money on the cap, and we had a lot of dead weight to clear out when we did that. So that's why we were aggressive. So anyway, I would bring in Vilma. One year deal. He does bring some leadership qualities. Bring him in. I'd bring him in. One year deal. It's not going to hurt. Then next year in the draft. Even though Jonathan Vilma is—he's going to be 29. He's 29 years old right now. Let me check his age. Yep, he's 29.
32, man.
Vilma's like 32,
man.
Vilma's 32, but John Beast is 29.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, John Beast is 29.
Oh, gotcha.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I would take Vilma. I mean, early 30s. I mean, 1-year deal can't hurt. Can't hurt at all.
It'd be a good
idea.
I'd do it.
I mean,
and he'd be on a playoff team. That would definitely help him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's not like he's coming into a rebuilding situation.
Right.
He'd love it.
Yeah, he would. He would.
So I don't know, man. That's a good. I wish
I
we,
would.
You got Reese's number or what?
I wish I had his direct line to his office. I call up right now. So, yo, Jerry, number 51. He's with the Saints last year. You interested? If I get him on cheap, you know.
That's right.
That's what I would do about John Mara. I walk into Jerry's office. And, hey, Jerry, Jonathan Vilma. I know he's on the wrong side. I know it's on the wrong track, but come on. We need help with a linebacker. We get it for almost, for not that much. It ain't going to cost that much. He's a good player. For his good leadership qualities, get it done. Bring him in. I mean, I don't like his options we have. But actually, it looks like McClain could play the position. I mean, he's only 6'1", he's 6'1", 245, and that's the ideal height and weight for a middle linebacker anyway. So
yeah.
he's 28. So why not? I mean, but yeah. Talk about Jonathan Vilma, I'd do it. I mean, what other choice do you have? I mean, if the choice of outside linebacker are no good, then keep McClain at his spot. Keep Paysinger at his spot, or put Kennard at his spot, either one of the two, and just get Bill and the man in the middle. That's it. Done deal. It's a wrap. I mean, it's not going to cost that much. You know, he's a good player. I mean, even got to pay him like $2 million, you know, on a one-year deal, I'd do it. And next year's draft, go out and get a draft middle linebacker, a real good one. I mean, a stud. So.
We're talking about this is just for week one, maybe week three at tops, because you're expecting Beeson to come back, and you still have that insurance to have Vilma play behind or rotate with Beeson. You know, either, you know, Beeson, he's got to be number two on the team of tackles, because this is how I look. You want somebody. I really want this team to get off to a good start this season. We all know about the 0-6. We all know about. Season was pretty much done before it even got started. And if we could get a win at Detroit Monday night, do you really think Mark Hursley, if you're really saying the Giant, you really think Mark Hursley is going to be able to cover Eric Ebron, Pettigrew, you know, Reggie Bush coming out of the backfield? I mean, you really think that linebacker is going to be able to handle that? And that's not even to say Beeson's even the best. You know, defender of the pass. He's a run dude. But right. We're talking about a team like Detroit is going to air it out. They're going to air it out on our middle linebackers. Dude, I don't know about the pass or secondary. I think our secondary might be offense in the league right now, even without Will. With Will, we're the best secondary behind Seattle. But I'm talking about on a linebacker. You really think he's going to be able to handle that Detroit offense?
Maybe not. But I think this is a different team defensively than what we had just 12 months ago. I think that the language will be different. I think that the emotion will be different. I think that's emotion. The ability, let's wait and see. Let's not just toss it out to the wind yet. I think he can hold the line. It's going to be. I know a good start. I know last week I said 5-2 would be very helpful before we went on our bye week.
That'd be good.
And it's still possible.
Oh, yeah.
Say again. I hear you.
But I agree.
You breaking up on me, bro.
Yeah, I'm having problems hearing too. So you're breaking up pretty bad.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
I thought it was my Skype acting up.
No, I think he can toe the line initially, and yes, a good start is essential.
Right.
But
that happens.
I don't know. This is a tough one. I really. I don't know how to even answer it no more.
Yeah. Listen, I think, like I said before, I think Hurzlich is a role player. I mean, he's not really a starter. You know, he's a best team contributor. He's a backup linebacker. He'll always be that.
Right, Joe, but I also think that knowing the Giants' management, they're not going to bring anybody else in here, even if they have the capital.
Well,
just knowing. I hope they do, you know, but at this point, common sense right now will tell you, hey, bring somebody else in right now to toe this line. Sort of like what San Francisco does.
Right.
But I'm not really sure if Reese is. I don't know. I can't even tell you what I'm thinking.
We got $7 million under the cap. It's not gonna kill us to take $2 million out of that seven and give it to Jonathan Vilma. It's not gonna kill us.
Yo, I totally agree with you. I just want to know what Reese is going to do.
Well, Reese got to get off his dead ass and do it. I would do it.
You bring in Vilma right now. That solves a multitude of problems, actually.
Yeah,
they need to bring in somebody. They need to bring somebody in. I don't care who it is. I don't care if you play middle, strong side, weak side. Bring somebody in. Bring in a veteran presence to teach these young kids, to push these young kids. You know, and even if you cut them at the end of training camp, so what? At least we got something from him, you know what I'm saying?
That's why.
Let me ask you. I'm sorry to cut you guys off real quick. Let me ask you this: didn't Vilma play with Intro Role after U2?
I don't know.
I thought Intro was after.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he did.
I think he was after
him. Then, like, Vilma left like what? He came at Jet like around.
Vilma was rookie
early
of the
2000s,
year.
Man.
In 2000.
2002.
Because Intro, I think he came around that same period, and I think they're familiar with each other, man. And,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Even if they weren't on the same roster, I mean, you know, them U boys, they roll tight, man. I mean, you really plug it in one U linebacker for another, and you know you got that camaraderie, man.
I think they might have been teammates. I'm not sure. I think that they might have been teammates. I mean,
what do you guys know about the Spencer Atkins guy then?
I never heard of him.
Spencer Atkins
he's on the team now. He's on the roster right now.
Yeah, but they got him from the Falcons.
He's trying out for weak side linebacker, and he's from the U also. I don't know much about the guy, but they like him in training camp thus far, OTA rather, thus far.
He's only 5'11". He's only 5'11", 236.
That
I mean,
right?
Yeah, he's only 5'11".
That's why we haven't heard from him.
Yeah, he's not even 6 feet. I mean, he's an inch shorter than Beeson. That's about it. According to the roster, he's an inch shorter than Beeson. I never seen him play. I never heard of him. I look at him right now, this second, as we're talking. I see a role player. That's all I see.
Yeah, he is a role player.
I see a role player. That's it.
I just you know, now I'm starting to think about this. This is, I don't think normally our concern is on the offensive line, man.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know Jeff Schwartz, the moment we got him, we penciled him in the left guard. And now that Beaton's hurt, I would take Jeff Schwartz, put him in left tackle. Just move on to one spot to the left. He got. As I said before, Schwartz at left tackle, Pugh at left guard, Richburg at center, Snead at right guard, and Rogers Gaines, if he makes a team, at right tackle. And Rogers Gaines is a rookie. He's 6'6", 329, he's 24 years old, and he's a rookie out of Tennessee State, which is a small school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Either way, we're going to be okay. I think our line is going to be all right. We still got Jerry and a few Walton still, you know, these guys are still there, you know. And I like the depth. I like the fact that's one thing I did appreciate what Reese did. He did go for depth right away.
On the
defensive
line. He did.
He did go for depth,
even though he brought in the backup tackle player for the Saints last year, who is horrible. Charles Brown. Yeah, he was awful. That's what I'm saying. You know, with Schwartz left tackle, and the interior is Pugh, Richburg, and Snead. Until Benny can come back, you'll have Rogers Gaines, if he can make the team play well. Then when Benny comes back, you can take Schwartz off a left tackle and put him on right tackle. You know, and Benny back a left tackle, keep the interior the same. It could work. You know, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's only ideas right now, but who knows I
think we'll work. It'll work anyway on our offensive line. I think we'll be okay. Either decision. I just don't trust Beatty. That's my problem.
I know. He's been hurt
a long time, but for a long time, and I haven't seen any kind of improvement. He was getting beat like a rag doll anyway when he was in there.
He was.
Hey, Chris, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, quick question about Beatty, man.
out of 100% with DD, how much was it because Devin Booth was playing to the right of him that DD was destroyed? Was it part of it because of Booth was having bad play too? I know a lot of BD play stunk anyway, and I'm not taking it. That whole left side was just trash, man. Like, you know,
yeah, well.
I mean, how much do you think it was just a domino effect with, you know, with BD, with Booth to the right of him? Like, how? I mean, it was so bad. Like, how much would you put it on not just the left tackle but the left guard also? You know, and then the center was trash too.
I put it on everybody. Yeah. Put it on everybody. They all was trash.
I think the entire offensive line was trash.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. They all stunk. Eli Manning is a pocket guy. He ain't a rollout dude.
Right.
Okay? And when he sits there and he's able to have ample time to survey that field, I don't care how many of these punks are talking about, oh, well, he's not an elite quarterback. He's probably the best in the business, one of the best in the business at that. When he's able to take, you know, have just a few more seconds to survey what he's got going on, you need, that's what the Giants need to win offensively. Okay, that guy to be protected. And they didn't do that for him.
Right. Oh, no.
They didn't do
that. Hell no. Of course not.
And also, after the fact that, and I'm sorry for picking on Reuben Randle, but I got to go there. There was bad chemistry with him and some of his receivers. Okay. And it was a nightmare. So now he's got to worry about his offensive line, and he's got to worry about chemistry, and he's got to worry about opposing defenses coming at him like they never had before in any other season he's been around. This year, at least, they're able to give him a little bit more time in this and that, and his receivers are ready to go, and he's got a new offense in the mix. And it can really work if he has ample blindside protection.
Yeah.
Brady didn't give him jack last year, and it's a compliment to Pugh that he learned on the fly as fast as he did. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hold on, we got a call from the 678 on the line right now. 678-270.
Yeah, this is Curtis from Atlanta. I want to comment on what the brother was talking about with regards to Reuben Randle and the line. You're actually correct about the line. But, you know, Eli had no time with the line. You know, there's a couple of things we have to blame for that. You got to blame Jerry Reese for signing Vitti to that big deal. And then you also have to look at the fact that every other team's offense evolved, and we kept running the run and shoot.
That's
we were running the run and shoot. And that's the key point. So we were so easy to defend because everyone knew our offense. If we have not changed our offense in an 8 or 10 year span, then our division rivals are going to catch up and know our route. We don't have the breakaway receivers like a DeSean Jackson. Now you have it with ODB. But still, we don't have those types of guys. With this new offense now, it's kind of hard to defend because if you look at Green Bay, they can't defend those guys.
Right.
And now, with the fact that if we make use of the tight end, if Adrian Robinson or anybody we can make use of, Eli will be fine. Because every time Eli has had a tight end, he has produced with Shockey, with Ballard, with Bennett. When he doesn't have a tight end, he's So we had the line issues, we had our running back issues because they could not run block, and so I blame Jerry Reese for not stocking up the line, and I blame Jerry Reese on a love him, I blame him a lot for not what he does in the middle rounds of the draft. He has struck. Now, how many middle round draft picks do we have on the Giants right now? Dillon was supposed to be a beast. Where's he at? You know, we got guys like Kay Singer and all these bums. So what impact do we have in the middle round? And you see these other teams with middle round picks, and they've done a great job. So yeah, he'll hit the first round. He'll hit the second round. He stinks into the seventh round, where he'll get a Bradshaw or he'll get a Cox.
So we wasted just freaking 5 rounds of picks.
Yeah. Actually, the reason why John Mara was brought up himself after the season was over. He's saying, we've been missing terribly in the middle rounds of the draft. Why? And Steve knows my reason why. Because Reese has been drafting projects.
I agree. I agree with you.
Projects, man.
You are so right.
I mean, we talk about that all the time, man.
Because he has been drafting projects. To say that, you know, Adrian, you know, the tight end we have is a JPP of tight ends. He only had what, 20 catches in college. How is he a JPP of tight end? I mean, if you look at what he did with Jay Brumley in the third round, Jay Brumley was out there playing handball, expecting to be drafted in the seventh round, not the third round. Yeah, I mean, so if you look at it, again, I have great issue with what he does in the middle rounds, and I think he expects these coaches to boost him up. We gotta build a team to win. And my last point before I get off real quick is that if you look at defensively, Jerry Reese has never valued linebackers, which stinks. He picks the wrong damn DBs, you know, and then he picks these D linemen who I'm clueless. I mean, I hope anything comes through. But I'm sitting here like, okay, hey, what are we going to do this year? And if we come out to a slow start, 1-3, you know, 1-3 or 2-4, the season's over. I can look at our schedule right now. We're going to have a rough stretch.
Well, yeah. Actually, I think as far as the defensive backs and the defensive corner, I thought we picked some pretty good ones this year. I mean, I like the play we took at Ohio State and Notre Dame. That's funny. I think we're loaded on the back end with talent. I think we'll be okay. I think our secondary has been looked better than it ever has.
Oh, we spent money. If you think about it, outside of Prince, who's drafted that we have on our team? Hill's out because he gets high. Posey's out because he gets high. Who else do we have that we draft? We paid for that back end. We paid for DRC. We paid for Thurman. We paid for Quentin Dent.
Well, we drafted C.J. Barnett, and who's the CB we took from Notre Dame? What's his name?
I don't trust any rookies in the NFL when it comes to playing D-back, because wide receiver and D-back are the hardest positions to learn in the NFL, because you're out there on the island. And the Giants' histories when it comes to rookies, they don't play them. They put them in the slot. They don't play them. And a rookie D-back in that, if you got Thurman, DRC, Prince, and whoever else is there, Antoine Roll, Stevie Brown, he's not going to get anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to think about it. So we hope to stay injury-free. Beeson's out for maybe the first week of the season. And Beeson, that acquisition is the only reason why our defense looked good last year. Beeson changed the whole complexion of that defense.
He did.
Hey. With Will Hill, I give Will Hill. Will Hill was balling too, man. Him and Will Hill, in my opinion.
Yeah, Will Hill's a beast. The problem with Will Hill is we can't trust the guy. So we have to cut him.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back at the draft, and you look back at other drafts, and you look at the pick that Jerry Reese passed over, you got to be kidding me. I love the guy, but I just think that he needs to stop drafting like a scout, and he needs to draft like a GM.
I mean, that's the thing. He was a scout. Why is he botching on these picks, man? Because, you know, you got Mark Ross out there in the scout developments and all that, but why are we misfiring on these middle-round picks all these seasons, man? It really is mind-boggling when you think about it, man. It really is.
It is, because during the draft, Mark Ross is actually the guy running the draft making the picks. And, of course, he has a run for Reese. And, I mean, just for the Giants still, we take best player available. That's what they always do. And when it's our turn, we're on the clock, player comes up who's high on our board, Ross is going to take him. And now we'll go around the entire room and everyone. This is background noise.
Yeah, who's that?
Oh, that's me with my aluminum foil.
Oh, okay.
Wait, in the kitchen?
You're still grilling, man, huh?
Yeah, still grilling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. We're going to need that for the tailgate, bro. All
right.
Anyway, Ross is the one that makes the picks. And if everyone in the Giants war room goes around the table and saying, okay, how we feel about this player? And Reese is the one that makes the ultimate final decision. So, okay, take him. So, and that's about it. Oh, and I look at the Giants roster, and I found another backup offensive tackle that I found. I can't, you guys are going to laugh.
Who's that?
How about this for a blast from the past? His name is Stephen Baker.
He ain't number 85, the touchdown maker. That's for damn sure.
He's like 6'8", right? He's 6'8"?
He's 6'8". He wears number 68. He's 340 pounds. He's 25 years old. He's in his first year out of East Carolina.
Really?
I just thought that was funny. We got another Stephen Baker on the team. 25 years later.
What a name.
Touchdown maker.
Yeah.
I know. I forgot all about him.
Hey, Curtis, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. I didn't know if you caught any of the show earlier about, you know, the Beeson going down. Who would you want to see at the linebacker spots in the event he does not play week one? Like, what combination of linebackers right now do you want to play with? Who do you want to sign? Or, like, how do you want to see the linebacker on week one?
You got McClain. Put McClain in the middle.
Okay.
And whoever else on the wing. I don't even know. Everyone else has no name to me. You know, Herzlick, Pace Singer. I mean, you got to put Dequan Williams because he's a stud. He needs to finally get out there. So you got to put him on one wing, and then it's a crapshoot on whoever else on the other. That's how I kind of look at it.
Okay.
That's how I look at the Giants linebackers.
All right.
We don't have depth there. So they may look, you know, to see who's going to get cut. They may see who may want to get traded for a seventh-round draft pick. But you have to have Dequan. You have to have McClain. You put McClain in the middle, and then you just pick and choose who's going to play the other spot.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, because McClain's a stud. That's a great deal. And I think, again, let's go back to the project that Jerry Reese was about to – we were about to sign a darn backup linebacker to a stud deal from Seattle. They only had, I don't know, how many tackles.
Right.
You know, and they viewed him as a pass rushing specialist, and luckily he failed his physical. You know, it's like, who is this guy? You know, so I think that what Jerry Reese needs to do is just find, okay, hey, we need to get a young linebacker, see who's out there, a free agent, because there are stud kids out there. You know, that's a ball.
Right.
Those are two kids I think, and whoever else. That's my only thing. I'm looking at receiver. Who do we have a receiver? We have Cruz. We have Jernigan, we have Randall, we have Randall, and we have ODB. Those are the four I go with. Mario Manningham will not see the field.
Wide receivers, we talked about this last week. Beckham, Cruz, and Randall. Those are your bona fide starters. The rest of the guys on the roster are wide receivers. They're nothing but role players.
No, but see, Jernigan got noticed by the owner. Well, the owner, that was his point to the coaches. How the hell is this guy on the bench for 3 years and he's coming in balling?
Right.
So Jernigan, I think he has earned his spot. And until ODB, he's going to be the fourth receiver right now. I think Jernigan has proved to be the three, and then ODB by midseason is going to be a three, and then Jernigan will be four.
That could work.
And then, if you know, if he becomes the next to Sean Jackson, like they're saying, he may be two, and Randall will be three.
Right. We got, like, the Giants got, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12 wide receivers on the roster, and one of them's on the PUP list. This kid, Chris Adams, who I'd never heard of. He's a third year out of Texas El Paso. I think he got hurt. He's on injury PUP list or injury waiver list or whatever the heck it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of receivers for at least six spots. We're carrying six spot receivers. We're not carrying more than six. So I think I've been hearing some good things about this wide receiver Marcus Harris, Trenton Holiday. We brought in to be a special teamer. We still got Gerard Jernigan, Manningham. We brought back. We got this, another one. I never even heard of him. Preston Parker. I never heard North Alabama. Randall, of course. Julian Talley out of Massachusetts, and Corey Washington. That's it. Those are wide receivers. I mean, I see a lot of role players on this team. After the first four you just mentioned, the rest are just role players. That's it. They're truly on special teams if they're going to make the team at all. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 11 to 12 guys for six spots, and it's
as far as me with Jernigan, I think he came on because he was playing that slot behind Cruz, man. I think a lot of that because Cruz is in front of him on the depth chart. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't even have – I know they're implementing that three wide receiver set. So I hope he gets on the field and finally gets some shine, man. He's due, man.
Well,
Green Bay, they play 3-4 wide receivers a lot. So that's the type of offense they're going to be looking forward to seeing. And Green Bay utilized the fullback on running downs, but passing down they always had that one running back. So I'm curious to see what McAdoo is going to bring, and hopefully he's the next coach in the waiting after Carson retires.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what I heard about McAdoo as well. I mean, saying he's got head coach potential, so it could work.
But real quick, we. Steve, I don't know anyone who's in Atlanta in this call.
Just me and you right now, but we got some Atlanta calls that call prior. But go ahead, man.
We got a big road trip coming up. We all going down to the Jacksonville game, and we all going up to New York for the San Francisco game. So if you guys want to hang out with us. You guys are more than welcome. We got a good amount of people flying up.
Keep us posted. Keep us posted. I'm definitely down for that.
Okay, yeah. Who's speaking?
That's Chris.
No, this is Chris. Chris Miles.
Chris, where are you from?
New York, all the way, bro. All
right, so you still stay up there?
We live in the South Jersey right now, but yeah, for the most part, yeah, I'm a tri-state area kind of guy.
Okay, well, hey, this is what we do. We have a meetup group. And if you look on meetup.com for the real New York Giant fans of Atlanta, you'll see if you join that group, that's how you get posted. Because we're going to Dallas, we're going to Jacksonville, we're going to New York on November 16th, and that's a big global New York Giant fan tailgate. So we try to make it big. We try to do it. Steve does his own road trips. I do my own, but we do have some as a group that we go together with.
Okay. So the real New York, dude, give me that the last part again.
The real New York Giants Big Blue Fan Club Atlanta chapter, something like that. There's only two fan clubs, but if you see that the real, then that's us. And we got about 82 members. We started it last year in October, and it's just grown. It started with just seven of us. Steve was one of the founding members too. And it's over seven of us, and we got a big, giant fan club out here in Atlanta, a lot of us.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Okay, is it just a road trip, and you guys are traveling in some kind of vehicle? How do you get from state to state? Do you fly?
No, we fly. Some people drive, because we went to Charlotte. Steve and I, we went to Charlotte together. I know Steve went to New York. I went to Dallas last year. So we had a good number of us just jump in cars, jump on a plane, and just go.
Okay, you're right, what I'm saying, because I'm a travel agent.
Okay, well, see, that's why I'm glad we're talking. Okay, well, great. Well, if you could give Steve your info, have that sent, or join our meetup group. You join the same meetup group. Just because it says Atlanta chapter don't mean that we don't have people from New York in there all over. Just join, and that's how you can keep us posted. You can boost your business on there, because, again, we looked at about 4 or 5 trips here. Two as a group, but 5 total, I know, people are going to be taking individuals.
Okay.
All right. We are a traveling bunch, man. We go to all the games. Like, you know, I may go to a game in, like, I don't know, like last year, like Carolina and, you know, KC and stuff like that. You know, you got guys, they always go to the Dallas game and go up to the annual tailgate game last year with the Packer game. This year is the 49ers. So, I mean, we travel all week. You know, everybody's going to some game. And when Giants finally play at London, I'm on that one. I'm going to London. You best believe that.
And the thing is, I'm telling everyone right now, the Super Bowl is in Arizona. Book your hotel now. I don't care what. I believe that we're going back to Glendale, and we'll be in there this year. Every year that we're counted out is the year that we make.
Well, let's get too crazy here. I mean, I would like to have the opportunity to handle everyone's travel accommodations. I mean, that's what I do, like 6 days a week anyway. I mean, all I got to do is contact me. I mean, I have sports travel and tour operators that I do business with. So just contact me and I'll get you booked. But, well, it's a Super Bowl.
Let's keep it in the family.
Keep it in the family. That's why Steve asked me to join the call today, was to try to, you know, promote the group. And now it seems like this term has to be a blessing in disguise. So you join our group. It's free. We don't charge no dues. We just like to get people together. And that's all we are, just getting our big blue group together and just having fun.
Okay.
Hey, Kurt, Joe's doing the Hall of Fame game for the Strahan induction, man.
Oh, yeah. I can't make that one due to my schedule. I can't make that one. But that would be something to post in our group. You may got some people who want to come up there.
Okay,
That's how it is. Right. I mean, because then that leads to people posting on Facebook. That just takes it to another level. So if we could grow this thing from just being an Atlanta thing to being a U.S. thing, I mean, hey, you never know. There's a Dallas chapter. Can we link up with the Dallas chapter of Giant fans out there?
G-Man Fallon on board, man.
We took over an entire sports bar the night before the game, an entire sports bar.
That game is October 19th, I believe, right?
Yeah, October 19th. I already got my ticket.
Yeah.
Got my flight and got my hotel. I just need to get the game ticket. But, man, if y'all want to hang out with us, you're more than welcome. Join our group. My contact information is out there. And I definitely will speak to y'all guys next week.
All right.
Hey, sir, one more thing, man. Does the Atlanta chapter, we have any events going on between now and the start of the season, any you know, fun events like we did with the bowling, sports bar and stuff like that. We have any other events going on right now with the group?
Yeah, we got another one that starts to pop off. We're looking for the month of July, and we don't know if people are gonna be in town, but we were thinking about doing something July 5th. A bunch of people are gonna be meeting up at Sweet, and I know a couple of meetup groups are meeting up at Sweet. You know, there's gonna be a gang of women out there. So I figured that'd be a perfect time to get everyone out there together, you know. And that would give us the opportunity to recruit some good-looking Giant fan girls, you know what I'm saying? So that's my motive now. We got a lot of testosterone in there, and we got some women in there, but the women we got in there make me want to watch commercials. So I need to get some that make me want to holler. So.
Hey, Kurt, one more thing, man, before you go, man. You tell us, we're Giant fans, where we going to be at this season, man?
For the game. We'll be in Jacksonville this year. And the thing about Jacksonville, like right when the schedule came out, the Jacksonville Jaguars season ticket office contacted our group, and we had a group rate. So they ended up hitting us up with a group rate. So we're like right behind the Giants sideline, the 20 and 30 in the 200 section. And it only cost us $87. And, it's only $87. They gave us the group rate. for that. So he hit us up. We'll be in Tennessee to see the Titans play. A good group of us will be in Dallas. A good group of us will be in New York. And some of us is even talking about going to Seattle. So
yeah.
We got people like Steve was saying. We got people going to different games throughout the season.
All right. Let's just take us only that group rate you talked about in Jacksonville.
Say that again?
Okay, the group rate that you got in Jacksonville, that was just game tickets only?
That's just for the game ticket only.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right. That's
just for the game ticket only.
All right, Kurt, you got a pen and paper handy?
No, I'm driving right now.
I'm driving right now,
but if you, like I said, just join the group or pass the info to Steve, and he knows how to get to me.
Okay.
And we'll just take it from there.
All right.
Hey, Kurt.
Steve,
Kurt. Oh, yeah, we can rap about that. I got you on that. Hey, Kurt, I just wanted to talk about the sports bar we're going to be at every Sunday outside of traveling games.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be at Taco Mac in Sandy Springs out here in Georgia. It's a good spot. It's a good central location. We have the ability to have the whole downstairs by ourselves. The thing, we always want to save that for big games because they'll bring in it'll be all you can drink, all you can eat, but we would just have to meet a minimum. So we just decided to go upstairs and have our own area. But we'll be meeting there. I'm at Taco Mac in Sandy Springs. Parking is in abundance. The food is good. And they asked for our business. We went there for a draft party, and we had about 30 people there just for a draft party. And the manager came up to us and even called me. We got us and we want your group to be part of us. They even talked to us and they had our schedule handy, knowing when our games was going to be at what time. So every place we have gone, we've common numbers. We pay our bills, so obviously they want us back because we pay our bills. We don't walk out on bills and shit. We're not in New York anymore. So anyway. So anyway, I'm not trying to make this a promotion for our group, but, you know, Steve wanted me to come out and just talk about the Giants, but just kind of just say, hey, we do have a home out here in Atlanta. You ain't got to watch the games in your house thinking we is in Atlanta. There's no Big Blue. There's Big Blue out here. And I met Steve through a meetup group. The first one we had, the Super Bowl, we had over a couple hundred people in that bar. You know what I'm saying? And we had the whole back section. And that's how I met Steve and some other people through meetup.com. And I realized that we had other Giant fans out here. And we got more people hitting us up throughout the season. I mean, after the season, joining our group. I mean, I saw a Giant fan in the gym the other day, got his info. I saw OC in the gym. I took a picture with OC. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And he doesn't like, he told me he does not like being in Atlanta. He told me that. So you know, it's a we got a family out here, and if ever y'all travel to Atlanta, or if y'all somewhere and we know we're gonna be, hey, let us know. You know what I'm saying? We everywhere.
Hey, I gotta correct you on something, man. This should be a promotion. You know, this is what this kind of forum and podcast is for. All things related to G-Men, this is what we need to do, man. We need to always remind each other that there are events, happenings, offerings out there for us to just get together, bond, talk our best, get a place up, just vibe. Because I believe, I think this is our year as well. So, yeah, why not?
Okay, well, I'll take that. You're right about that. And there's also, because I don't know if you guys joined our Facebook group, that there's a Giant fan Facebook group out there that's really, you know, global. So Steve will probably let you know the name of that. You ain't a part of that. And I joined that, and there's a lot of people on there. A lot of people on there. So, you know, we out there, man. We travel well. I mean, when we went
party
to Dallas,
hard.
We party hard. Yeah, we
oh,
went
yeah.
to Dallas. There's a bunch of Giant fans up in Dallas.
y'all be surprised, man. That Dallas crew, the Giants crew in Dallas is nuts, man. Nuts.
Yeah, wow. The Dallas crew, the Giants crew out there in Dallas is wild. I'll say that. And Dallas is a great stadium, all jokes aside. But, you know, with Charlotte, we although we got a butt kick, we showed up. But half the stadium was us.
It really was.
Half the stadium was Big Blue. So, I mean, like you said, we do have a lot of people.
Hey, what's the Facebook group again?
What's the name of that Facebook group, Steve?
Oh, I'm in a whole bunch of them. It could be any of them. It could be Hardcore Blue. It could be
the
One Percenter. It could be.
You said you were posting something in a certain group. What was that?
I post that inside meetup.com, the real New York Giants fans of Atlanta. Yeah, I never posted a Giant. I'm in a couple of Giants Facebook groups. There's a couple. But what I'll do, I'll text Steve when I get a chance, and
okay.
I'll text him when I get off this phone. And I'll text him the name of the group I'm in that got us hooked up with the Maryland chapter of Giant fans and the Dallas chapter of Giant fans and then the San Diego chapter of Giant fans. I mean, we're all over the place, man. There's people just need to
know.
I joined a couple of new Giants users myself this week. I forget the name of it, but I joined like two of them. I think one of them said diehard Giants fans or something. I didn't say Atlanta, Georgia, but there's something else. I'm with Steve and the Big Blue Roundtable. I'm in the Maryland, Washington D.C. Chapter, Virginia. I'm in that group, even though I'm from Jersey. I thought I joined that group by accident. But no, you're good, you're okay. I'm like four or five of them. Something like that. So, I want to hit up your site and join the Atlanta chapter of Giants fans and get myself promoted. I want to tell people, yeah, I'm a travel agent. And if anyone either wants to go to Canton, Ohio this summer or want to be arrange some group travel for Giants fans to go to the road games. Or if they don't live in Jersey, if they don't live in a New York State area, and they want to come to MetLife, I'll book them as well. So I'll get my stuff out there.
And what you do when you post in a group, then what I'll do is I'll co-sign it, and you know by me co-signing it, it gives everybody in the group comfort. Okay, you know what? He's one of our people. You know what I'm saying? Not an infiltrator. He's one of our people. So you go in there, you post it, I'll co-sign it, and you'll get that business because we are flying up from Atlanta for MetLife. We do have a gang of people from Dallas flying up to MetLife. So those are two big, you know, groups flying up that we can definitely get you paid off of. You know what I'm saying? It's all about keeping it in the family. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
So I'm all for that.
Awesome. I love it.
Especially
Steve,
when it comes
Steve,
to the tailgate.
Let me get up out of here. Yeah, Steve, let me get up out of here and handle some more of this business. Yo, fellas, if there's any ladies on the line, it was great talking to y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I definitely hope to meet some of y'all in person. Join our group. You'll come to Atlanta. You got a home. You'll hang out, party with us. And then we're just going to just turn the bar up on a Sunday when we play. You know what I'm saying? So I hope to see y'all and speak to y'all soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, Kurt, I'll catch up with you later, man.
Gentlemen, I also bid you farewell. Steve, I'm going to get up with you in a little bit. Thanks. Hey, I can't catch you guys next week, and I'm going to start signing up this week for different stuff, so watch out for the brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, J-Rock, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Hey, man, can you give us a plug-in with your show, man, once again?
Yeah, our show is Shakedown. It's me, J-Rock, Shakes, and Roldy. We're the hosts. We come on 11 a.m. every morning. Monday through Friday. We're on again at 4 p.m. And y'all can catch us on blogtalkradio.com/theshakedown. Where y'all can check out our archives on iTunes and also YouTube. But let me just, for your fans real quick, me and Shakes, we set up a fantasy football league, so we got one spot left if anybody wants to sign up. You know, shoot me out a quick email, bbnuncensored@gmail.com. So, you know, we'll put you in there.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. Thank you very much, man. Once again, you know, I listened to that one show y'all had earlier this week, man. You guys had I might have to get on at the quizzes, man. I caught the tail end of that.
Oh, you caught that?
A little bit. I was kind of busy, man. But I would have definitely got some of that stuff for real, man. Some of it, I know that. Yeah.
Steve, let me tell you, Steve, that was one of our highest rated shows right there, but people everywhere was just tweeting in, like, oh, I know the answer to that. I know the answer to that. Nobody knew the answer, man. It was a lot of fun. We probably going to do that once a week.
Oh, okay. I was having a little technical difficulty calling to y'all show. The phone was tripping, but yeah, I got you on that, man.
No problem.
Thank you very much. And then Joe, man, once again, you want to plug in your promo?
Anything Giants that's travel based, just hit me up on Facebook or Twitter, and Lacey Township Travel and Leisure. Yeah, you log in to Facebook, that search bar on top of the screen. Just type in Lacey Township Travel and Leisure. See a picture of my face. I take it to my fan page, click like, message me there. Hit me up on Twitter at twitter.com, Lacey TWP Travel. I'm on YouTube as well. I don't have that many videos on YouTube, but you can hook me up on there, on Google+. But I'm all over the place. And Steve, just send me that info that Kurt was talking about the Atlanta chapter.
But,
all right, just hit me up with that. I think I might join tomorrow.
Okay, I got you on that. No doubt, man. Any closing remarks as far as John Beeson and Ben McAdoo to wrap up this show?
John Beeson, just get well soon, man. Get well soon. Have the surgery. Get well soon. Hope you come back strong, because I am worried. And Ben McAdoo, if you are what everyone's saying you are, then I'm looking forward to seeing the new Giants offense this year. I'm excited. That's it.
I just hope John Beeson comes back healthy, man, because we're going to need him for the rest of the season whenever he comes back. And, hey, Steve, I'm going to try to bring the whole crew in next week so we can, have some fun with this.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great, man. That'd be fun, man. We had a good time with you guys last week, man. That was good dialogue we had on the Bleed Blue Show, man. Definitely thanks again to the Shakedown Podcast joining us last week for that. I'm kind of with you guys, same thing. I mean, with John Beeson, man, just get well soon. Hopefully you there by week one. Hopefully he being, good football shape and ready to go. And as far as Ben McAdoo, it's exactly when Scott called in, from a Packer fan perspective, giving us that details about, Ben McAdoo and his offense. Man, I'm really excited based off his answers and, how he thinks the Giants are going to do well with that. So, it's just a wait and see, man. My thing with this team is from day one, I've been saying it for years, no injuries. Please don't get injured. Let's get healthy and just go roll with the punches, Let's get off to a good start this season. This John Beeson thing kind of, it bothered me because, I knew this was going to happen, but just hopefully he gets well soon. I don't think the front office is going to do something, although I think most of us is on the same page that we should. But, hey, we could talk about that next week. We can see what the developments and the news with the Giants go on between now and this week. And I'm sure y'all are going to be talking about this on your show every day. So you guys are going to be keeping a close ear to the New York Giants until, we get on for sure. So, I don't know anything else to add to that.
Let's go get John Development in the meantime. Let's get Velma in the meantime. Let's plug him in. The $2 million out of $7 million is not going to kill us. Give him a one-year deal, and it's all good. Just go get him. We need that leadership. We need that veteran presence. Now, I know he's on the wrong side of 30 years old. Let's get it done. It'll help. It'll really help.
All right, man.
That's it. All right, I'll holler at you this week on Facebook, all right?
Yeah, I'm going to holler at you, man. And, J-Rob, man, thank you very much for calling in showing your love as far as from the Shakedown perspective. Man, go Giants, go Blue. I want to give a shout-out to the Shakedown Podcast. I want to give a shout-out to Scott, Packer fan, calling in. C. Miles, Curtis, representing that real fans of Atlanta, Big Blue style. We'll see you all next Sunday, 6 p.m., Big Blue style, man. Go Blue.
No problem. Take care, man.
Take care. See you next week. Good Giants.
All right.